Well, welcome to another episode of Ask Me Anything. I'm Ashrita. I'm the host of the Prayers of Rest podcast. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. This isn't our usual podcast format. Usually we have guided prayers and we go through one topic at a time each season. We just wrapped up a season, Who I Am in Christ. And in between seasons, while our team prepares content for our brand new season that's coming up, we just started doing these kind of question and response episodes where I love being able to share some things that I've learned from my walk with Jesus over the years with listeners in our community, with readers in our email community. We did this last season and we got such a great response from our listeners that we thought we'd do it again. So with that, I want to introduce my co-host for this episode is actually the producer of this podcast, Kendra Stanton.
Hello. Kendra, welcome. So excited to be here for another Ask Me Anything with Ashrita. So how it's going to work, if you've not listened to an Ask Me Anything before, is that I'm going to be sharing some practical questions from real readers, real listeners like you, and then Ashrita is going to respond and then give them one thing that they can do to delight in Jesus.
Yeah. And before we jump in, actually, I wanted to say, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I have a question I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you can actually record a voice message and send it to us. You can go to speakpipe.com/Ashrita, or even just go to prayersofrest.com. There's a button there where you can leave a message for us. And Kendra has been collecting those questions. These past two seasons, we've been doing it through email format. But hey, I would love for future Ask Me Anything episodes for us to hear your voice. I'd love to kind of hear your intonation with that. So feel free to head on over speakpipe.com/Ashrita. We'll have that URL, that link in the show notes. Yeah. And I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your question.
Yeah, let's jump right in. So our first question is from Cecil M. And she says, hi, Ashrita. My biggest struggle is to commit the Bible to memory. I also have a challenge on focusing on one verse or paragraph, but find myself digressing into other things or sections of the Bible. Most of all, I don't know how to meditate on a verse. I hope you can assist me.
Well, Cecil, I absolutely love that you want to meditate on scripture. There's so much in the Bible about how filling our minds and our hearts with the Word of God transforms us. And so let me just start there. Like, even if you're struggling with memorizing and recalling to mind word for word verses that you're trying to memorize, the very act of setting time aside and meditating on it, like, even if I'm working through the Sermon on the Mount, and I have been all year long, and this is like November, end of November as we're recording this. I've been working on it all year long, and I'm only like 20 verses in to one chapter. Like, it's taken me so long. And on the one hand, it can be frustrating to be like, gosh, I feel like I should be further along by now. But at the same time, I have dwelled in those verses, in those passages. Like, those are the verses that I call to mind as I wash dishes or as I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep. Like, I will mentally rehearse passages that I've memorized and they become my companion. And so that would be my encouragement to you, is to maybe reframe how you think of memorizing and meditating on God's word. Make it less about the goal of checking it off and being like, oh yeah, I can recite it word for word, and more the goal of delighting in Jesus, delighting in God through his written word by meditating on it. And so just set a timer of saying, okay, every day I'm going to take 3 minutes and I'm going to rehearse, work through, read aloud, memorize, meditate on this passage. And even if it takes you weeks to memorize one verse, it's okay, because it's not about the goal of saying it word for word. It's about enjoying God through his revealed word. Spending time with him as you're meditating on that word. And the second half of that was, you know, focusing on one verse or paragraph and kind of digressing. I still do that. So even like right now, I'm studying Exodus. I'm all over scripture. Like, I chase down those rabbit trails all the time, and it's part of what I find enjoyable. And so that's my encouragement to you in that second half of the question. Feel free to allow God's Spirit to lead you to different passages, even if you're trying to just study one book, but keep coming back to that book. Like every time you're wrapping up that rabbit trail, keep coming back, take the next paragraph or the next section. And again, this isn't, our goal is not to get through a book of the Bible in a certain time period, or even necessarily reading through the whole Bible in a year. Like, those things can have their place. But here, especially at One Thing Alone Ministries, we truly believe the heart is God delights in us, and he invites us to delight in him. So it can take months to get through a book. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Just keep coming back. Keep becoming aware of his presence with you through his word and his spirit.
Yeah, never stop starting. All right.
Yep, that's great. That's
something that someone told me once, and so that's what helps me remember when I chase down rabbit trails. I'm like, oh, I'm over here again. But all right. Hannah F. says, my biggest struggle when it comes to spiritual growth is twofold. First, it is consistency. If I had someone to hold me accountable, it would be easier to stay true to my reading scripture daily. My second biggest struggle is that I often don't meditate on what I've read because my mind switches quickly after my Bible study to all that is on my to-do list for that day.
Yeah, so here's another two-part question. And Hannah, again, I would commend you on your desire to be in God's Word, and to do that consistently. So to respond to your first part, to have someone to hold you accountable, I would encourage you to find someone to hold you accountable. That study on the book of Exodus that I mentioned, I gather with a group of women from my local church every Wednesday, and we go through one chapter every week. And so that helps me, like, Tuesday morning, if I still haven't finished that chapter, I know I only have one day left to kind of go through. And, you know, if I've chased all the rabbit trails during the previous week, I need to come back and finish that chapter because we'll be discussing it. And there's something beautiful about that accountability. And if you can find that in your local church, it just brings such richness to those relationships. So that would be my first encouragement to you, is if you're struggling with consistency because you need accountability, then you probably need to find that accountability. And if you don't know where to find it, ask God's Spirit to lead you. Ask him to show you. Have conversations with people in your local church, women's ministry groups, your pastor. And if there isn't a Bible study, maybe it's an opportunity for you to start one, to invite friends to say, hey, I want to study this book of the Bible, or I want to read through this book that covers, you know, biblical topics. Would you want to do it with me? The second half is meditating on what you've read, because as soon as you wrap up Bible study, you move on to the to-do list. And to that, Hannah, I would say you're totally normal. Like, this happens to all of us.
Amen.
Am I right, Kendra?
Yes, it happens to everybody.
That's why when I developed a method of studying scripture for myself, inductive study, I included a step at the end. So I use the feast method. I use a step at the end that is turn to God in worship. Because if I don't prompt myself, then I fall in that trap too. I'll just study, I'll make my application, and then, like, okay, good study, God, and move on with my day, instead of pausing again, that delight, pausing to connect with him, pausing to say, God, this is your revealed word. Thank you for meeting me in your word today. Is there anything else you want to say to me? And just spending time to be with him. And as you turn that, again, that perspective shift from I'm going to do the Bible study to check it off, to I'm doing the study because I want to know the heart of God as revealed in scripture, then you keep coming back to it, because that relationship will still be on your mind. And I love, there's this verse where Jesus promises his disciples that because he's going to heaven, to the Father's right hand, he's going to send the counselor to guide and instruct them and remind them of everything he had taught them. And so leaning on God's Spirit to remind you of what you've read, is, again, that relational component.
Yep. So good. All right. Next question. Tammy S. says, my biggest struggle for spiritual growth is not having the prayer life that I desire. How would you encourage Tammy to grow in her prayer life?
Tammy, I wish I knew more about like what stands in the way. But I do appreciate your heart that you want to have a thriving prayer life. And I will say, just based on reader emails, and even there's a Crossway survey from 2019 that identified the most common obstacles to a thriving prayer life. Number one is distraction. Like 57% of people said they get distracted when they try to pray. I think it was like 17% busyness. And then tied 15% was like loss of words. Like, I don't know what to say, or even like, I don't know that God cares, or that he would move in response to my prayers. So if you find yourself somewhere in one of those obstacles, Tammy, there's a whole lot you could say. Actually, it's one of my keynote messages that I share at women's retreats, is this heart for a thriving prayer life. And the one thing I would say is to remember that even though those are all reasons that we don't pray, we have one good reason to pray, and that is that Jesus is interceding for us. Like, we have a high priest who right now is at the right hand of the throne of God and is praying for us. Hebrews 7 and Romans 8, like, there are multiple passages that talk about how Jesus prays for us right now. He intercedes on the Father's, on our behalf before the Father. So we can come before the throne of grace with boldness and confidence, because we're not like trying to get there on our own. We're going to join Jesus in what he's already doing. And again, shifting that perspective to like, this is relationship. This is something that Jesus is doing for me on my behalf. And so I can just come and join him in that. And even when you don't have words, again, Jesus helps us in that. His own spirit groans for us, intercedes for us with groanings when we don't have words to pray. But there's still a heart posture of prayer, a posture of coming before God and joining him in that work. And so without knowing, Tammy, which one of those obstacles stands in the way, that would just be my overarching encouragement to you, is to consider, instead of like, prayer is something I need to do, think about prayer as you're joining Jesus in what he's already doing. And also allow it to be a conversation where, yes, you pray, but then also pause and listen to God's spirit. Is there anything that he's wanting to respond to you with? Like Jesus, the good shepherd, he says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. And when you think of prayer as not just a privilege to approach the creator of the universe, but as prayer, as a, again, that space of being with him, then suddenly there's far more motivation, at least in my own life, there's been more motivation to carve out time and to stay focused in that time of prayer.
Amy W. says, my biggest struggle with spiritual growth is probably the habit part. I start on fire and then the winds of life blow in and take over again. I probably try to do too many studies and books. I don't completely quit. I just don't keep up with all of the things I'm trying to do.
Yeah, Amy, again, you're not alone, because I'm over here like nodding my head. I'm like, I get that. So here I am, like studying the book of Exodus with my group at church and trying to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, and also following with my pastor's series in Matthew, and just trying to do a lot of different things because I get excited about all of them. And I think part of what your question is getting to the heart of habit formation, and this is something that I've written about at length in my books on the website. We haven't really gotten to talk about that much here on the podcast, which is why I'm so excited that we have these Ask Me Anything episodes where I can kind of share with our listener community. And so part of that habit formation is just working with the way God created our brains to form new patterns and to form new neural pathways in our brains, which is that habit then. So what I would encourage you to do, first of all, is simplify. Because if you find like you're not keeping up with everything, it might be that you're trying to do too much. And so pick one that is like, that gets you most excited, most on fire. Pick that one thing, link it. Well, start small first. So even that one thing, like, can you break it down to just 5 minutes or 10 minutes as your goal? And then link that to something you're already doing. I often use the example of like, making your coffee in the morning. So maybe you listen to the audio Bible for 10 minutes while you prepare your coffee. So start small, link it to something you're already doing. Celebrate wins, like when you're seeing progress, when you're seeing consistency and growth. That doesn't mean perfection, but like if you're spending more time in God's word this week than you were last week, that is the work of God's Spirit. And so celebrate that. Celebrate that he's producing fruit in your life and make it enjoyable. So, you know, pick one of those studies that you're most looking forward to. Maybe I like to use these like fun highlighters, mild liners, and I get like a different set every year. So I use different colors in my Bible. Get that coffee or put on like a fun instrumental playlist that just draws your heart into that space. And those are all different parts of creating an enjoyable habit that you will look forward to returning to the next day and the next day and the next day. I have so much more to say about this, but to keep it, just keep it simple, and then link it to something you're doing. That would be my encouragement.
All right. Another question kind of about habits, but it's from Beth, and she says that her struggle is finding the time to do more in-depth studies. So how do you find the time? How do you make the habit of studying in-depth?
So I like to use what I call the feast and the snack approach. So I mentioned earlier the feast inductive Bible study method. But even just thinking in terms of imagery, like on right now, you can't see this, but I actually have like a jar of bone broth next to me because I told Kendra before we started recording, I skipped lunch today. It's just been a jam-packed day of meetings. And so even though I might not be able to sit down to like a great lunch that has perfectly balanced protein and fat and carbs and all that, it doesn't mean I'm going to starve until dinner time. Like I still need to grab a snack. I need to grab something to tide me over until I can have that better meal. But I think when it comes to Bible study and reading scripture, we have this all or nothing mentality. Like I'm either going to do this 60-minute inductive study or I'm going to wait until I have the time to do it. And so my encouragement is take the snack and feast approach. So even on the days when you don't have that much time, what is a scripture snack that you can still grab? So going back to Amy's question earlier, you know, how can you simplify? How can you start small? Make that your scripture snack. Make that your consistent portion of God's word every day. And then maybe once or twice a week, you look at, do I have a window of time where I can set aside 30 minutes to go deeper into God's word? At least in this season of my life, that's kind of my rhythm is I do a lot of scripture snacks throughout the day. And then about once or twice a week, I have usually about an hour where I go really, really deep and it just satisfies my soul in a way that those scripture snacks can help me maintain that meditation on God's word and awareness of his presence. But having that realistic expectation of maybe just once or twice a week, can you skip a Netflix show? Can you like set your phone aside and don't pick it up until you do that study for the day? But then the rest of the week, don't let your soul be famished. Grab those scripture snacks, grab a few minutes, read a psalm, listen to scripture while you're making your coffee. Don't let it be all or nothing.
All right. Well, we are running out of time, so I'm going to jump down to that question about the feast method. Barvel S. says, I've been using your feast method. I like it, but need a breakdown. I'm struggling with the S and the T part specifically. Can you give me a breakdown of how to do this?
Yeah. So I'll run over this really quick here, but you can also go to the website onethingalone.com/feast, where I have it written down in like point by point. We have a bookmark that you can download to keep in your Bible. There's also a video where I walk you through how I use this to study. But basically, feast, F-E-A-S-T, the F stands for focus your heart and mind on God. And ask him, what do you want me to learn today? Again, we're reframing this from something that we're checking off our spiritual to-do list to a relational connection point. And so start your study of God's word, feasting on God's word, by focusing your heart and mind on him. The E stands for engage the text. And so this is where we read the passage, maybe read it in multiple translations, and then engage with it by writing down observations. This is where you ask, like, what does the text say? You can ask the who, what, when, where, why, how. And again, this is going back to the previous question, like this is a feast of scripture. This will take some time. It doesn't mean it's the only way you read or engage with God's word. You want to have those snack portions as well. But if you're going to do a feast, the engage the text is where you'll probably spend most of your time just writing down a bunch of observations. Maybe do a word study. You might want to read the passage out loud or look for patterns, repetition, contrast, comparison, those sorts of things. The A in feast. So we focus our hearts on God. We engage the text. The A is assess the meaning, which is basically just asking, what did this mean to the original audience? So because the Bible was written with a primary audience in mind, that is so different from us today. Before we jump to application, we need the step of pausing and assessing, like, what is the core meaning of this text? What did it mean to them? Before then you turn and say, what does it mean to me? So, you know, maybe there's a command that's given to the people, or maybe there's a sin to avoid, or in every single passage you'll find something, it says something about God's heart. So maybe there's a something you want to praise God for, or something that God revealed about himself to the people in that passage. But in the assess portion, you want to keep the language to them and there and then, because now with spark transformation, that's the S, we transition to here and now. And this is where really we ask God's spirit to spark a transformation in our lives. A lot of times when I've done Bible study previously, I would just go through the steps of like observation, interpretation, application. And it just became like a self-improvement program for me to be like, okay, I've read this. I know what I need to do. Okay, now this is what I'm going to try to do today. And I found that God's heart is really one of wanting to draw us in and invite us to surrender to him, to submit to him, to walk in step with his spirit. Jesus talks about taking his yoke and carrying his burden with him. And so there's this imagery, instead of like self-improvement and applying it to our lives to try to change ourselves, more again, that relational, like, God, what are you trying to do in my life? What do you want to do in my life? And how can I surrender and submit myself to that transformation? So the S, spark transformation, it's really not so much us as it is saying, all right, God, I surrender to you. What work do you want to do in me? And we read in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So his spirit is always wanting to do a work in us. The S part is where we surrender to him, to that transformation he wants to spark in us. And then the end, as I mentioned at the start of this episode, the T in feast is turn to God. Because unless Bible information leads to God adoration, we've really missed the point. It's not about becoming Bible scholars. It's about becoming women and men who love God and love others. And so again, this is that relational connection point of turning back to God, responding to him with praise, with confession, with thanksgiving, pausing to say, God, is there anything else that you want to say to me or show me in this text? And so with that, we carry that with us throughout the day. But yeah, that's an overview of the feast format. I actually have two Bible studies that are written using this format. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I really want to learn more, I want to learn how to do this, you can pick up a copy of Bible and Breakfast that has a 30-day feasting and snacking with Jesus. So every day it's a pick your own adventure. You can either do a snack for the day or a feast, and I walk you through the text that way. And then the other book is called He is Enough. It's a 6-week study on Colossians, again, also using the snack and feast approach. And that's perfect for small groups to go through together.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this Ask Me Anything episode with Asherita. That trips me up sometimes. But thank you so much for joining us. And if you have questions, please feel free to reach out. I will have that SpeakPipe link in the description so that you can send us a voice message. But you can also email me. It's Kendra@onethingalone.com. I'll have my email there as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening in. And I would love to hear if this encouraged you in any way. If you got a nugget from it that you feel like you can apply to your own life, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. You can, again, email Kendra. She'll pass them on to me. Or you can leave a review of the podcast. We'd love to hear your feedback that way as well. A big thank you to our Patreon prayer community. It's their monthly support that makes this happen, that allows us to be able to cover our expenses and continue to bring this podcast to you week after week. So thank you, our Patreons. Thank you, Kendra, for producing this. And thank you so much for being here, listeners, with us week after week. I look forward to praying with you next time.